Amen. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to welcome you to Trace Creek Baptist Church, and I'm so glad that you're here and joining us today. And may you feel the presence of the Lord today. May you feel the encouragement and the fellowship of God's people today as we join together around His Word. I want to invite your attention to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8 today. In God's Word, Romans chapter number 8 today. And we're going to look at about five verses in verse 12 through 16 today. 12 through 16 of Romans chapter 8. Benefits, the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Benefits of the Holy Spirit. Give you a second to find your way there. Brother Nathan mentioned, but I want to add thank you to all who participated in DNOW this weekend, who've invested in the lives of our kids. And it's our prayer that God will use things such as this to bring them closer and closer to Him in their day-to-day walk and their relationship. And those things take commitment from adults. We just, unfortunately, we just can't, throw the kids out, and here you go. We have to have some adults a part of that. And so adults, thank you for giving of a day and a half or so and lack of sleep, all that good stuff. So thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Trace Creek Church, for making those things possible. Romans 8, verse number 12 today. Romans 8 and verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's pray together. Father, we do give you thanks for your word that we have in front of us tonight, today. Thank you that we're at a place that we can come and worship and assemble freely. We recognize that is a gift from you. And Lord, may we never ever take it for granted. Today, we thank you that we've come and that we have sensed in our own spirit, God, that you have met with us already. And Lord, that it's been good to be in your house already. So Lord, today I pray that through the preaching of your word, that souls will be encouraged. Lord, that people would be drawn closer in their walk with you. God, the most important need that anyone has is to know you as Lord and Savior. So God, today I pray that that would be this day for them. They would come to know you, that you'd meet them where they are and give them forgiveness of their sins, and they would know what it is to be your child. God, there's a lot of hurting hearts in this place today. Lord, I pray that you'd bring help. Thank you that you're able. Thank you that we don't simply cry out empty words to a helpless God. But Lord, we cry out to the one who is able and the one who cares. So we give this day to you. This is your day. We want you to be honored by it. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, as we look at this text of Scripture, I have three things this morning as we think about the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Number one, he tells us in verse 12 and 13, he tells us about having life in the Spirit, having life in the Spirit. And then in verse number 14, he tells us about being led by the Spirit, about being led by the Spirit. And then in 15 and 16, tells us about knowing love through the Spirit. Those three things this morning as we talk about life, being led, and love, all because of the Spirit of God. I think that we as Baptists, that we need to be reminded, that we need to be educated from time to time, that the Holy Spirit is not a Pentecostal charismatic, this Baptist can't even say charismatic doctrine, but the Holy Spirit is a biblical doctrine. And that we can say that the Holy Spirit ain't just for them anymore, all right? That we need to be people who operate and live in the Spirit of the living God. No, we're afraid. We're afraid of the Holy Spirit oftentimes. He's no one to be afraid of. That He's the best friend that you'll ever have. He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. Through His presence is always with us. You see, the Bible teaches us that as born-again believers, at the moment of conversion, that we are baptized by the Spirit of God into the family of God. And that each and every one of us, if we've been born again, that we have been baptized by the Spirit. It's not some second work of grace that comes along after we reach some attainment in our spiritual walk. It's something that God does, and it is His work and His work alone. Therefore, that we are baptized in the Spirit, and that we will always have the Spirit of God with us, that it is permanent. Now, the degree in which we are filled with the Spirit, it kind of ebbs and flows with where we are in our walk with Him. But His presence never leaves us, that He's always, as Leanne has just saying, that we are never alone. And so today, as we think about the benefits of the Spirit, that Paul gives us a little bit of an education about it, what it looks like to have the Spirit of God. In verse number 12, as he starts this idea, he introduces it with one of his favorite words to use, and that's the word therefore. And I think that it causes us to look back at verse number 11. Let's look at that real quickly. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and He does, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I said last week that I see that has two implications in the life of a believer. That ultimately, that because Jesus Christ got up out of the grave, that we have the guarantee that one day we will also get up out of the grave. But not only is it something that's in the future, but it's something that's present tense, that because the Holy Spirit is powerful and that He is alive, that in this life, that He is busy, that He is actively involved in our life, energizing us, equipping us, empowering us to live out our faith right now in this mortal body. That it isn't something just in the sweet by and by, but He is equipping us and energizing and living inside of us for right now and today. And that we are to experience and realize and live out the Holy Spirit's work inside of us. So that's the therefore of it, that the Holy Spirit, He is alive and He is well and He is actively working in the hearts and lives of believers. And the next word He says there, therefore, brethren, that He calls them as brethren, that He's words of affection. Without disturbing the Word of God, that we understand that means more than men there. But He's talking about the family of God, that we are brothers and sisters. We're all in the same position, that we are the children of God, and that what He has to say applies to all those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we'll get into that a little bit more later as well. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That we are debtors is His emphasis, and we have an obligation, is what maybe some of the modern translations use. But the implication is this, that there was a time in our life when we were under the grip and the obligation of ungodly desires, ungodly affections, ungodly motives, and ungodly ways. That is each of our testimony before we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The flesh that He ruled us, the flesh He dominated us, the flesh He intimidated us into following after its desires. And so that's what it means to live
after the flesh. We just do what that bully told us to do. And that's what he did. He bullied us around, and that's all that's our testimony, that we were bullied by the flesh before we come to Christ. Now, he constructs this verse in a different way than you and I would, because he says, we are debtors then not to the flesh. And he goes on and kind of elaborates on that some more. So we're not debtors to the flesh. We used to be, but we are no longer debtors to the flesh. That no more have we an obligation to do what the flesh wants us to do. We no longer have to succumb to that. We don't have to do one single thing that the flesh tells us to do. We don't have to cheat the company anymore. We don't have to lie on our taxes anymore. We don't have to sleep around anymore. We don't have to go hang out at the bars anymore. We don't have to overeat anymore. We don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. That's all what we had to do a long time ago before we met Christ. We no longer have to do that. You remember the Christmas story, that movie? Old Ralphie, he finally had enough, didn't he? And he took on the bully. We have to reach the point we realize that we ain't got to take it anymore. We got to take on the bullies in our life. And each and every one of us today, we've got some bullies in our life. Some things in our flesh that rear up and say, hey, you're going to do this. And today, serve that bully notice that you ain't taking it no more. All right? That today, that you don't have to. And now that you have somebody else that you're in love with, and that you do what you do because you love him, and that he loves you. And he loves you as well. He says that if we walk after the flesh in verse number 13. He says that if we do that, we shall die. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now, the first verse of chapter number 8 there, he tells us there is therefore no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus. So this death here, he isn't speaking of eternal damnation. That isn't the idea that he is conveying here. But he's about us forsaking and forfeiting the life that is open to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be spiritually as dead if we go on living unto the flesh. And he highlights what a tragedy it is to be saved and have the capacity to forget about the old bully and to live unto the one that loves you, and yet we decide not to do that and just to live as though we're dead. How tragic that is. And yet there's many people in life that's where they're at spiritually speaking. They continue to get bullied in their life by the flesh and the things that defeats us day after day after day. He says, and we shall die, not live. You know what? I believe that everybody, without exception, wants to live. I believe that. This human body, it is always trying to live. It amazes me how much that this body can take. And even as it takes all the abuse that it does, that even in the turmoil and the trauma of it, that it continues trying to press on and press on and press on. And physically, that just really just shows how we are as a person, that we really do want to live. Say, Ronnie, what about those who try to take their lives? I believe that furthers my point. I believe that they terribly want to live so badly, and yet the circumstances of their life that they aren't able to live it as they think it should be, and they become so despondent because of that they end it all. But they want to live desperately, and them trying to end it proves that they're desperate to live. You thought about that? It proves that they're desperate to live. If you want to live, what's he say to do? What's he say to do if we want to live? Verse 13. But ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. If we're going to live, something's got to die. Remember that. If you're going to live, something must die. And that's what he highlights here, that we are to put to death. We're to put to death the deeds of the body. Old timer David Brown said, if you don't kill sin, sin will kill you. If you don't kill sin, that sin will kill you. And that's exactly why Jesus, as he was talking there in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter number 5, as he talks about if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Talking that we must deal radically with sin. Now, he isn't talking about literally we go out and physically mutilate ourselves. But what he is saying that we must do whatever we must do to deal with sin and deal with sin radically in our lives. We must. If we're going to live, something must die. That's what he says. And if we will do that, ye shall live. Ye shall live. Now, Ronnie, I don't know if there's any hope. There's hope. It's not a question as if there's hope. The Bible says that ye shall live. That's an affirmative statement. There is no question mark there. That ye shall. If you'll mortify, if you'll put to death those deeds of the body that are sucking the very life out of you, then ye shall live. You think it's hopeless? No, it's not hopeless. I guarantee you, it is not hopeless. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians, even Paul, saintly Paul, the one that we think had it all together, he said, hey, I keep my body under subjection unless that I become a castaway. Right. Now, unless you get the idea that, you know, if you do this one time, you got her licked. Paul said it was an ongoing battle. Ongoing. It is something that you and I must constantly be in the business of doing so that we will really live. Here's something I wrote down this morning. As a matter of fact, I wrote this down this morning. Now, I think it. How do we do that? What's it look like? Number one, I've got three things in a sentence. We put our lives under the scrutiny of Scripture. Put our lives under the scrutiny of Scripture. Then we surrender ourselves by prayer. Surrender ourselves by prayer. And then we allow ourselves to be saturated with the Spirit. I think if we'll do those three things, if you and I, that we'll surrender ourselves to the scrutiny of Scripture, and then we'll come and surrender ourselves in prayer. We'll bring it to the Lord, and then we'll let the Holy Spirit of God saturate us, fill us to the full. Then we can carry out, we can mortify the deeds of the flesh, that we won't be living in death, but we'll live life as God has intended us to live it. So in verse number 14, he talks about us being led by the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now he gets some great comfort, great consolation and confirmation of our salvation. See that? That's part of the Holy Spirit's ministry to believers, that through his ministry that it helps us to understand and know that we truly are the children of God. For as many as are led, and that's our key there, being led. Notice that those are present tense words. As are being led, that it is a present reality in our lives. When you want to know have the assurance of your salvation, here is a great indicator. When you see the current right now, day to day, activity of the Spirit of God. That it isn't simply, I remember back in 1960 whatever, and then live like the devil the rest of your life. That isn't what he says to do. He says you pay attention. Does the Holy Spirit of God, yes, there must be that time where you surrender yourself to him, lock, stock, and barrel, and you are saved. But he says that is going to produce the Spirit working in your life today. Today. And I'm afraid that some of us, that all we have is 40 years ago and we don't have any today. So I want you today to check up your life. To see if the Spirit of God is working. The question isn't, are you doing good deeds? The question isn't, if you're at church today, the question isn't if you've been a good dad. The question isn't if you're addicted to meth or addicted to porn or whatever. That isn't the question. But is our life marked? Is our life marked by the Holy Spirit's activity day by day? Yours and mine. Yours and mine alike. Does he bring conviction? Does the Holy Spirit bring conviction when you sin? Maybe you're not doing what you ought to do and you feel that spiritual nudge in your life that he pushes you and moves you toward the things that you ought to be doing. Do you sense and follow his leadership in your life and in my life? That's really the most accurate evidence of the you being born again and knowing Christ as your Savior is the reality that it is today, day by day by day, the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. It's the greatest confirmation that I know. I think a big takeaway from this is that oftentimes, when we doubt our salvation, we do so because we're living a life of disobedience. And I think that if you'll go back in your life and if you'll look at those times that you have struggled with that it would be times when you're not doing what you ought to be doing. You know that you're not living in accordance to God's will in your life. That you're not in the Word of God, you're not fellowshipping with Him. I think that would be your testimony if you'll check it out closely. But you know, when we neglect and ignore what the Spirit leads us to do day by day, why should you feel saved? I think that's a good question. If you're living a life and the Spirit of God's speaking to your heart and giving direction to your life and you're constantly doing your own thing, why should you feel saved? You shouldn't. There shouldn't be any comfort in that. You should feel unrest in your soul. Thank God. Amen. Either you need to get right with Him or you need to come to know Him. Right. One of those two things needs to happen in the Baptist church. I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but the Baptist church, if we'd really get right with God, we'd start listening and yielding to the Spirit of God, things would be different, that your families would be different, our lives would be changed, a church service would look different if we were yielded to the leadership of the Spirit of God. It'd look different, be markedly different if we were people that were in tune and touch with the Holy Spirit of God. Let me take it on out and say that I believe that there are definitely seasons in life where Satan finds an opportunity to pollute our minds with lies and half-truths to discourage you, just to beat you up. But God says, I have something greater than the lies of the devil. That I have the truth of my word, that I have the confirmation of the Holy Spirit of God that is constantly with you. And I think I can say with full assurance that God wants you to have the confidence and the full assurance of His salvation. It's not yours, it's not mine, it's His. psalmist was clear when he said that it's restoring to me the joy of thy salvation. So we live in the Spirit day in and day out. We put to death the flesh. We follow the Spirit's lead. And then that salvation is a reality. I have never seen anyone who is engaged spiritually, as I say, in the Word and praying and following the leadership of God, who is defeated in doubting their salvation. You just don't see it. Now, I've seen people who have got in the Word and figured out that I'm not saved, and get it right, and there they go, but not living in doubt all the time. It just doesn't happen. So if we don't live in the Spirit, if we don't put to death the flesh and don't follow the Spirit's lead, are you a child of God? Is the question that must be dealt with in your life. And here I beg you today, don't brush off the message. Don't brush off this text of Scripture. Don't brush off and say, Ronnie, I've been in this church longer than you've been alive. Then you really need to be saved. You really, really need to be saved. And I trust and pray that you are. But it's a good reminder today. It's a question. So are we far away from Him? There's a lot more of us that's far away from Him than we want to admit. I'll say that again. I don't think you heard me. There's a lot of us that are a lot further away from Him than we want to admit. Because we're not constantly living in the Spirit. It's become the norm in our life. Without hurting your feelings too bad, the Christian life that most of us live is not to be the norm. And we've made it our norm, but it's not God's norm. He has something better for us. Look in 15 and 16, knowing love through the Spirit of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Anyone who has never been born again, whether they want to admit it or not, that they are living constantly in a state of bondage to fear. That's reality. If you've never been born again, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Why? Because the Bible said so. Because God said so. You can try to fool me or fool whoever you want to fool, but at the end of the day, you're in bondage. You're in bondage to this fear. As last year or so, K-Love, in the message, you'll hear a song, No Longer Slaves. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I've come to love that song. It's beautiful. Why? Because it's true. Because it's Scripture. That's why. Paul told Timothy, he hadn't been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. You see how that's diametrically opposed one to the other. We haven't been given fear, but we have been given power, love, and a sound mind. 1 John 4:8. Perfect love cast out, 4:18. Perfect love cast out fear. Any decent parent wants their child to know that they are unconditionally loved. Any decent parent, they don't have to be born again to want their child to understand that. even humanly speaking, just naturally speaking, that we get that. If we desire that, how much more does our Heavenly Father want us to know that we are unconditionally loved? Now, as I've been up here this morning, I've ranted and raved about this sin, this sin, and this sin. But at the end of the day, you're loved by the Father. You're loved unconditionally by the Father. You never did one thing to make Him love you, and you're not going to do one thing or two things or three things to keep Him from loving you unconditionally. The love of the Father, that's just what He does. He says we've received a spirit of adoption. Now, adoption is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Pictures the love of God. Have a home that has a longing and a desire to pour out their love. And that there is someone who is in desperate need of someone to love them. And that they are miraculously brought together. And they are made a part of that family. That they are made a part legally. That they are made a part lovingly. And that they are a family. That they have all the rights and privileges of the family. And that we don't have no longer this spirit of adoption, but we have been made part of the family of God, and we have the spirit of a family. That's what God does, that He supernaturally pours out His love to needy us, and that we become part of His family. The children, the sons of God. Sometimes people say, well, we're all the children of God. Well, not really. We are born into the very family of God. That God has common grace that He pours out on all humanity. But if you're going to be a part of the family of God, it comes through knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's how you become part of the family of God. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. I will receive you and will be a father to you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. And it is by the work of the Holy Spirit that you and I can experience such love, and that Holy Spirit also allows us to respond and reciprocate that love back to Him, that which has been given to us. The Holy Spirit now allows us to communicate back to Him. Do y'all know Campbell Gale? Campbell, she's starting to talk a bit and put words together here and there. And it's great to hear her say cat, moo, cup, dog. Those are all good words. But Lainey and Logan weren't all that interested in cup, and moo, and dog, and cat, and meow. What'd they want to hear? Daddy, mama. That was the desire of their heart. In a similar fashion, we see the desire of the heart of God. That all the other things that we experience, that God, that He is working in our behalf and working those things together for our good. But make no mistake about it, that there's one thing that He wants to hear from you, and He wants you to hear out, cry out, Daddy. To cry out in innocence. To cry out in closeness. To cry out in tenderness. To cry out in dependence. To cry out in trust. To cry out because He's your everything. Jesus Himself. In Mark, there, as He's in the garden, He says, Abba, Father, in Mark 14, 36. Abba, Father. Daddy. Hey, Daddy. Abba, Father, all things are possible. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. If you remember last week, and so we had our promise celebration. Wasn't that a great service? It was awesome, an awesome service. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Amen. It's an awesome time together. And one of the great additions is the song Brother Nathan does, is he sings there in the garden. He says, Father. That's what we see, the cry of the Son toward His Father. And that's because we have the Spirit of God, because that we are a part of the family, that we are sons and daughters, that we are relational. We are relational, that He relates to us and that He desires, and that we have the capacity to relate to Him, and that our very souls cry out to God. It's not simply some words that we utter, but it is from the depths of who we are. When we cry out to Him, He longs to hear the cry of His children. He longs to hear your cry. He longs to hear you call His name. Oh, there's not a better name. Oh, when, you know, hey, here's G-Dad. Yes, dear. Whatever you want, dear. Now, I'm not saying God's a genie in the sky. But that's the only way we can relate, isn't it? We know what that means. And to think, the Creator, the Sustainer, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the inhabitant of everything, that He hears you when you cry His name. Because of the Holy Spirit of God. What 16 says, the Spirit itself, and notice that Spirit is capitalized. It's not talking about the human Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit will not ever, ever, never, no, never, ever, no, never let you forget that you've been born again. There's nothing that can rob that. The Holy Spirit, that He is an ever reminder in His convicting, in His compelling, in His continuing work in us, that He is a constant reminder that we are His child. Sometimes that we get out on our own, we do our own thing, we'll be our own boss for a while. But because He is ever abiding, that He's always bearing witness inside of our spirit that we're His child. Amen. What a wonderful gift that it is. The Holy Spirit, we don't need to try to outrun Him, outsmart Him, or avoid Him. Right. We just say, here I am. Here I am. Take me, use me. Fill me up. I want to be all that You'd have me to be. There's life. Some of you today, you're looking for life. Looking in all the wrong places for it, but you're looking for it. Holy Spirit came to give you life. How are you going to, only way you're going to live is if something dies. Remember that. The only way you're going to live is if something dies. Who's leading you? Who's leading you? Be led by the Spirit. You'll never regret one day of it. I guarantee you. Never regret one day. Get in the Word of God. Amen. Surrender yourself in prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to saturate you, fill you up.
you'll know what it is to live. Let's pray together. Father, for these moments together, God, I pray that you would do eternal things inside of us. God, draw us near to you today. Lord, there's probably some folks here who've never been born again. They're part of the church, may have been baptized, all those things, but never been born again. God, I pray that you would allow them to see that they're not being led by the Spirit, and that Spirit that's not leading them, but right now he'd convict them of that and draw them to salvation. God, I pray for Trace Creek Church. I pray for a spirit of revival. God, that we would long to be Spirit-led people. That I'd long to be a Spirit-led pastor as I lead them, that we would together be Spirit-led. And Father, we would not just try to isolate it to certain days of the week or parts of our life, but all that we are, that we'd live. Those things that we need to put to death, God, I pray that today would be the start. The start of a life of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. God, I pray for boldness, I pray for courage and strength today to do what you'd have us to do. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I believe there's some folks here today that God's spoken to your heart. I pray that right now God gives you the courage to respond positively to His Word. You're going to respond, but my prayer is that you respond positively to His Word today. I'll be here to pray with you and help you in any way that I can. Maybe it's need to bow your knee at the altar today. If that's the case, I plead with you to come right now. Brother Mike and the band leads us in the song of invitation. There's room at the cross for you.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace of free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and heard from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcomes a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
All right, we're not going to wrestle over the microphone this morning. But last week, if you're here last week, when we were in service, Brother Gary was in the emergency room at Mayfield, and they were getting ready to transport him to Nashville. Stroke type stuff going on. Monday night, I think it was, had some seizures and had put a tube down him, all this other stuff. And he's right here this morning. Amen. And talking and walking, and wants to thank you for praying. Thank God for answered prayer. And just encourage you as you pray to see what God has done and knowing that he's still able. Amen. Amen. And so we give the Lord praise today and thank God for what he's done. Amen. Amen. All right.
It's good to be back home, but you guys don't have a chance to know what kind of pastoral stuff you have. Where our membership is, our son had outpatient surgery not long ago. I can guarantee you any time this church, whether it's Junior, Senior, Mike, whoever, they may not text or call me or David, but I know they're going to be asking, how Seth, did he come through okay with the surgery? Guarantee you, you're going to know. Our church didn't even do that for us. Not even in person. Pastoral staff-wise. Here in a minute, you're going to see something that's beyond what Spina Bifida knows. Get ready, Dad. And probably another 2, 3, maybe 4 years, whenever we're ready, when Seth's ready, he is supposed to have the biggest surgery ever in his little life. And it's to help him be independent on bathroom issues that he has with his spina bifida condition. I don't know the name of it. It's a 12-hour procedure. That sounds like 2 or 3 days to me. We would be at Cincinnati about a week when he has it done, come back with a bunch of tubes on him. When we have those tubes on him, we go back in a month or so after that, get more off, come back. My urologist, our cis urologist at Cincinnati, is a Christian and will pray over that child. He's done it with his viscostomy surgery because he wasn't going to touch him without it. I'd have had that hospital. Here in just a second, Seth should be coming through and showing you how a child with spina bifida can do something like Campbell without spina bifida. And I don't see him.
He'll be here in a second, all right? When he shows up, we'll see it, all right? Okay, thank you, Casey. Let's pray for Casey, pray for Seth, that God would touch his little body. Amen. God's already been gracious to him. And let's pray that God continue to help him and give this family added grace. They need it. Takes a lot to minister to a special needs child. And he's gonna start walking through here in a second. And as he starts strolling down here, I'm gonna hit the bullets real quick, all right? All right. Robbie, save me. All right, here we go. Special offering for the mission project today. I want to highlight this. Listen closely. Our bunk bed project, sleeping heavenly peace. 100 bunk beds. That's times two twins. All right. So 100 bunk beds, $350 a piece. It's going to take us about $35,000 to get that done. All right. $35,000. And today we're going to receive a special offering for that. I hope that you've been giving thought and prayer to that. The chicken buckets are going to be at the exit doors today. And so give as God lays on your heart. And it wouldn't take much for us to walk out of here today with that being done. Give. Give as you can. And if it don't happen today, we're going to continue every month until July to get that done. God's able, and I'm going to trust him for it. And I can't wait to see what he does on it. So have that ready when you leave at the doors today. Seth, good job, buddy. Let's give him a hand. All right. Good deal. Good job, buddy. All right. So that's when you leave today. And then we'll have them, if you happen to come to this morning, not have a checkbook or whatever, we'll have them back out tonight. Okay. What's up next? Girls' Day Out, Tuesday the 12th, lunch at House of Grace, workshop at Sisters and Friends, sign up at the Welcome Center. All right. Whew. All right. Posters for business cards, trifolds available in the foyer for the promise. Got our advertisements out there. So, you know, some great places where we have a lot of traffic. Get those out so we can start promoting the promise. Started practice this week. So it's full swing, full gear. Business cards, a great way. Have a few of those in your pocket. Hand those out when you meet people out in the street, Walmart, that sort of thing. Yeah, the baby bottle collection for Hope for Life. You'll be getting those in. You've done a great job. You have just blown us out of the water this year with how you've done. Hey, praise the Lord. That's awesome. You've done a great, great job. Thank you. You've done a great job. All right, what else? Okay. And we're still collecting for Sunrise, toiletries for the teens and things. So that as well. I don't want to money you to death, but there's just all sorts of stuff to get done. And unless we just put it on a credit card, I mean, I don't know what else to do. And then we got to pay that. So, I mean, barter with eggs, maybe chickens or something. I don't know. I love you. Thank God for you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Pray God's blessing on your life. Go home, get a nap. Some of you are still about half sick. Go home, take a nap, Tylenol, chicken noodle soup. Call me in the morning, all right? If you're not better in a week or 10 days, come back, okay? We'll do it all again. All right. I think we're done. Paul Chappell, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Father, I love you. Thank you for being my Abba. Thank you for being my daddy. Thank you for hearing me when I cry. Lord, just ask you to bless today and everything that's in it, Lord. Thank you. It's been good to be here this morning. Thank you for being faithful to me and my family to always fill my cup when I need it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.